Guardians, they play the Yankees tonight. And I'm trying to avoid another conversation there, you know, about, you know, what happened yesterday. So let's bring in Zach Meisel, who joins us right now from The Athletic. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, where Zach, I think, owes the fans in Cleveland an apology. He said the Guardians were going to win in four. They won in five.
I'm actually here to talk about the offensive line.
Oh, you are you? Yeah, wait a minute. You got to say something good about the Guardians before you go complaining about the Browns. You got to follow the rules
Those
like
are the
everybody
rules.
Else.
They have been, honestly, since the start, they never get off to good starts. I feel like they've been a beacon of hope since late March.
Interesting. Okay. Nadi, what do you want to say about the Browns if you actually want to say it?
It's hard to watch.
Did you actually try to watch yesterday?
I watched a little bit as I was getting on the road, but I it's just like not, I don't know. It's not fun. It has me thinking back to the days where there were no expectations, and it's like, well, if Spurgeon Wynn can't complete the pass to Juwan Dawson, like, oh, well, I'll go on with my day.
Oh, God. This is already too depressing. We're moving on. Zach Meisel joins us. How long would you let Alex Cobb go tonight?
Longer than he went in Detroit. I know they had a day off yesterday, but, man, that bullpen's got to be something close to gassed. So I would, you're going to have a little bit of a longer leash. Like, I'm guessing Tanner Bibee goes at least five tomorrow, which he didn't do in the Detroit series. So, and then you get to the middle three games in Cleveland. There's no days off in between those. So you're going to have to lean on the starters a little bit more and kind of pick your spots better. Like, I don't know if you can have Cade Smith warming in the second inning in these games here.
Did Stephen Vogt get a little lucky with the rotation and the bullpen here in this last series, especially with the bullpen on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you script it out, you're starting with like your ideal plan, which was probably Boyd one time through the order, and maybe that was more than two. Maybe it would have been like two and a third, two and two thirds, or something, and then you hope you can stretch Cade Smith to maybe get you through four plus. And then you just piece it together, and you're hoping that you don't need to go to anybody except that core four in the bullpen. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, Sabrowski can come in and get a lefty to end an inning, something like that. But I don't think the ultimate strategy was to include Sabrowski and Walters and then have Eli Morgan pitching key outs in the seventh and eighth innings. But, you know, that's sort of – you have to weigh the risk-reward, and that's part of the equation. Like, you know that that's a possibility as you're going through it. Otherwise, you would have left Boyd in there longer. So I think they were okay with that possibility, but certainly were hoping that they could stretch the relievers they trust the most to cover more innings.
All right, it's hard for us today. We're the first time we've been on the air, so we're basking in the glow of what happened on Saturday, which was a long time ago now, because the Yankees have been sitting there waiting, and now you have a matchup tonight. And we were talking about, yeah, every game seems in the playoffs like it's a must-win, and we're talking pressure. And I said I really want this one, considering what you've got in Game 2 and how a team can get swallowed up by the moment, especially in Yankee Stadium. I know we think every team's different. This team, that won't happen to, but how important do you think tonight really is for the Guardians?
So a few things here. Number one, it was a benefit that they moved that game to 1 o'clock on Saturday. And I think what the league was a little worried about was if you play at 8, there was a threat of like maybe a rain delay at some point, and they were scared that the winning team was going to get into New York at like 5, 6 in the morning and then have a workout that afternoon. And it was just like too quick of a turnaround, and like it still feels like this. Like they just played that emotionally taxing game,
yes,
on Saturday, and we're already here. It's okay. Here's a game tonight. But I think for the Guardians, like it was really beneficial to be staring at the end of your season, be staring at elimination in the seventh inning in Game 4 in Detroit, and have your backs against the wall. You know, if like that's pressure, like that. If you can survive that and then survive the stakes of the Game 5. Like, yeah, the environment at Yankee Stadium, it'll be raucous. It always is. There are a lot of guys on this roster who have experienced that 2 years ago, so that helps. But also just like you've been in it. The Detroit crowd was great. You know, the even at home like that, you're feeling the pressure there in game five. So I think that all helps just like numb you a little bit as you get ready for a series like this. And, you know, I know you guys have talked about it, but like nobody like the league wants the Yankees to win, obviously. The Guardians are the only team that can screw this up. The other three teams would provide matchups that the league would be drooling over. And so I don't think they're thinking about that. You know, Alex Cobb is not thinking about that when he toes the rubber tonight. But, like, it is an interesting mindset. Like, they know they're the team here that's left that's, like, not supposed to be here, that, you know, no one's itching to see the Guardians square off against the Dodgers in the World Series except those who like the Guardians and those who maybe hate the Yankees or the Mets. But so maybe that does take a little bit of the pressure off of here. But, you know, they've been through this for the last week, that I think that'll really help.
So is this a realistic play out of Lou Brown talking about them eating burgers, hanging around? I mean, basically, yes.
I mean, it's like what have they not experienced? Like, what's going to be new here? There's really nothing like that they haven't been through. I just, you know, not, I never want to say like they're playing with house money. I mean, it's.
I really think they are, though, Zach. I mean, this is as close to it as you're going to get.
Yes, but you're still, and Austin Hedges has kind of instilled this mindset in them since spring training, where even if guys showed up and they were like, all right, we won 76 games last year, like maybe we can be good. I don't know. You know, I don't know that players are thinking this is definitely a team that's going to the World Series, but he wouldn't allow them to think otherwise. And I think Stephen Vogt hammered that home as well. And, you know, now you reflect back and it's like, oh, maybe those guys knew something, or maybe they just knew how to lead. And I think that leadership and that confidence and everything they've gone through this season, where they've been a first place team pretty much the whole year, that probably leads them to believe that they're supposed to be here, and that like there's no reason they can't walk into Yankee Stadium and get a win or two.
Lane Thomas's grand slam was an amazing moment. I argued it's a top five moment that I've ever seen as a sports fan in this city. But I got to look at what Brian Rocchio did in this series. I mean, just unsung as a hero for this team, offensively, defensively, setting the table at the bottom of the order. Was he the most surprising performance that you saw in this last series against the Detroit Tigers?
For sure. And it's cool when you see a young player in any sport, like you're watching them gain confidence in real time and it's spurring their performance even more. I mean, you see like he was, toward the end of the series, if he got out, he was so frustrated, as if he's walking around like, I'm Brian Rocchio. I shouldn't be making outs. Like, who would have, as if that would have flown at any point between April and September. But he looks like the real deal right now. And, you know, even he delivered an insurance run there in, what was it, the eighth inning? I think he had an RBI single, and he, like, rounds first base, and he was as jazzed up as he was for Lane Thomas's home run. Just, like, he's, you could tell he feels like he can do this. And, you know, you kind of see that switch flip on a player, and it's pretty cool to watch.
All right, these two teams obviously played a pretty darn good series in 2022, one that could have gone either way. We remember the Naylor stuff out of that. Is there anything about that Yankees team that is similar today? We remember Aaron Judge swinging and missing a whole bunch. What can we take away from that? Or is this a totally different Yankees team?
I think it's a more different Guardians team than it is a more different Yankees team. I mean, Soto is obviously just a monster addition, but there's still a very top-heavy lineup. You know, if you can, when these two teams played in late August, it was Judge and Soto. I mean, it felt like the two of them homered every time they were up. And so the Yankees took two or three. If you can quiet them, easier said than done, I think this lineup is very manageable. I think the Yankees' bullpen is not as good as it was 2 years ago. I would say their starting rotation it's pretty similar. You know, you're going to see Clark Schmidt, who they saw a bunch of in 22. You'll see Garrett Cole, obviously, who I feel like I've never seen Cleveland hit well, even if he was in Houston. You know, it's not too different. I don't know. The Yankees are, like, the Guardians were jockeying for the number one seed pretty much all summer. So I think these are two teams that are, they're different, but like they're not too far apart in terms of like true ability, I think. It's just going to come down to execution at key moments. Like, and that's not rocket science, but like, can you get Aaron Judge out when you need to get him out? Can you get Juan Soto out when you need to get him out? Can you prevent the guys in front of them getting on base? I think that's the key to everything.
All right, there was one number, talking to Zach Meisel from The Athletic, one number that stood out to me just by looking at the Yankees. Obviously, you know, offensively, they're going to be top five in almost every single category every year because of that payroll. But the fact that they drew 672 walks, that was 70 more than the next closest team. It's the most in Major League Baseball, by my count, since 2010. Is that because they've always been a disciplined team? They always see a lot of intentional walks, too, but that is an incredible number, and that's got to be something that the Guardians are going to be looking at with their pitching, right?
Yeah, it feels like they always rank at or near the top in that. I mean, that is just a Yankees, that's like their brand, it's just patience. And I think that's, you know, like what you got. And that's why I think, Anthony, what you're talking about with like the moment and everything and the pressure and Yankee Stadium in October, like, yeah, that's all important because you can't have like an Andrew Welser situation where a guy just, the moment looks too big and they just don't have it. And that you, like, everybody has to attack the strike zone and you can't be too nervous to just attack. And the Yankees hitters will force you to throw strikes. So, you know, that's why I think why you get a veteran in there like Alex Cobb in game one, who's got playoff experience, who's got just tons of experience. He's pitched, he's been in the AL East for a lot of his career. So he's faced the Yankees a ton. That could be help. That could be calming. He's a guy who throws strikes. He's looking to get ground balls. So we'll see. I mean, you can't pitch around guys. You have to, especially the guys who aren't Soto and Judge, you have to throw strikes and you can't nibble. Otherwise those guys will kill you.
Zach Meisel joining us here on the show. Zach, going back to Austin Hedges, his role within this team, like I remember halfway through the year, we're thinking, man, this guy, there's no reason for him to be on this team. They got it. And now it's like, man, I thought I saw a completely different Emmanuel Clase over these last couple of outings with Austin Hedges as his catcher. I mean, is it that cut and dry, or is he kind of a Sherpa for the rest of the organization or the rest of the guys on this club?
I think all of the above. I mean, I think that was more Clase, just you saw him stare down Kerry Carpenter after he struck him out in game five. That was I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. And, you know, Hedges, look, it was the best case scenario when David Fry wasn't injured and he was able to catch. And Hedges played like maybe once a week. And he has helped Bo Naylor grow defensively a ton. I know he has not had the season that he wants or people want. He has been a liaison between the coaching staff and the players. And it truly is helpful in baseball when you have 162 games and you're going to go, like they went through a 7-game losing streak. And I think Hedges played a big role in getting them out of that rut and helping just whatever the mood, the tenor needs to be in the clubhouse. It's set by him, and it helped. You know, he was here in 22. He leaves, goes to Pittsburgh, gets traded to Texas. They went through a terrible slide in September last year, and then they ended up winning the World Series. And that experience, like there are things he clutched onto that he brought with him back to Cleveland that he can help teach and make sure that this team has the right mindset throughout the year. So, like, yeah, that we you know, some of that stuff can be eyewash, especially on a team that isn't winning. But I do think he's been just a critical resource for this team and for a first-year manager, too. Like, he needs a guy like that. And Vogt was a catcher, so I think he understands the role. And, you know, I understand that he is not a good hitter. He's the first to admit that. But there's a reason why he's probably going to be a manager one day.
By the way, we have to clarify. You were in the stadium. Did they or did they not play Wild Thing, or did they play his normal entrance? Because Owen was in the stadium. Owen was like, they did not play Wild Thing. They played his normal entrance, and it was on TBS that they played Wild Thing for Emmanuel Clase.
Yeah, that was just TV.
kind of, was it bad that we just exposed that, or did that eliminate the magic, Owen? Is that worse?
No, I think the truth needs to be told, and Zach Meisel's the guy to tell the
truth. Yeah, you're the truth teller. Zach, final one. Should I say bring on the you-know-what?
I think you got to do it at like 9:53.
Let's go. Got a game tonight. ALCS. You don't get many of these.
Can't do it.
You have to. Mitch is in the room. He's rooting for the Yankees. Come on.
Zach, you said I have to say bring them on?
Look Mitch in the eyes and say it.
No, I'm not having him work me. Look at the smug look on his face. What? Judas
what
Priest.
What about the school children, Kenny?
I already ruined one classroom's life as a fan. He's wearing the... Can you be a grown adult taxpaying man in this country and be a fan of both the Yankees and the Guardians, Zach?
No.
Thank you.
Especially not this week. Let's go. Pick a side.
Yeah, pick a side and go with it, Mitch.
I've got my side.
Oh, my God. Whatever's most convenient for it, is it? Okay. Zach, thank you very much for the time. God bless you.
You got it, boys. Take care.
Zach Meisel from The Athletic on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Is Mitch going to root for the home team throughout? Is he going to pick one out of a hat every game?
I thought if I harassed him enough during the regular season, he would stop. He's not going to stop.
We're not going to have Mitch stand at the top of stairs and bop a ball into a laundry basket and pick which team.
I mean, at this point, if he keeps this up, if he's standing at the top of stairs, he's getting shoved on him. So I don't want to physically assault Mitch.
Mitch,
but
you want to come sit with me in 537 next week?
Let's do it.
You will take a tumble in the 537.
Maybe I'll just jump off. No, I won't do that. I'm kidding.
Okay, jeez Louise. Mitch.
Took a dark turn.
Yeah, it took a turn. Is Emmanuel Clase's trade the best trade the Guardians have ever made? Is it one of the greatest? Is it the greatest trade in Cleveland history? J.R. Smith is up there. And really, that wasn't even... That was for... he was a throw-in. Why is the name escaping me? I can see him right now.
Shump.
Yeah, Amon Shumpert.
Yeah.
They wanted Amon Shumpert, and JR was a throw-in because they were sick of him. He was not a very good driver. So could kind of see where the Knicks were coming from. Jerry Ferrara, he's listening. I'm sure he would agree. Anyway, it'd have to be... I thought the Lane Thomas one would be up there now, but I'm just oozing with love over Lane Thomas. Emmanuel Clase... I thought it would be... I wrote down Kenny Lofton.
Well, you said all of sports. I still think the Baron Davis trade. I mean, do you remember...
Which gets you Kyrie,
which gets
right?
you Kyrie, which oh. LeBron comes home because you have Kyrie.
Well, I'm thinking one-on-one trades, like that type of thing.
I tweeted it out on Saturday, and just so many... More likes than I've ever gotten on anything. Lots of engagement, though, and everyone's saying... Kenny Lofton or Eddie Tavancsy for Kenny Lofton.
Oh yeah,
that's a huge one.
My whole life that one has
Caps,
been brought up.
The Shump and JR trade came up as well. Somebody actually put a timeline though. If you go Tavancsy for Lofton, Lofton brought in David Justice. David Justice was traded away for Jake Westbrook. Jake Westbrook was traded away for Corey Kluber.
Yeah,
and Corey Kluber was traded away for Emmanuel Clase.
It all comes back.
That's full circle. That was some wild transit of property.
7 degrees.
That was not me drunk in a bar on Saturday evening.
I'll tell you,
that was James on my Twitter.
No, that's
he did a great
one.
Job.
That is a great one. I would also add Joe Carter. The Joe Carter trade got you Sandy Alomar Jr. and Carlos Baerga. And I mean those.
But then Joe Carter did win two World Series.
Yeah, but we were in such the dumps.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's no one when I look at a lot of these. There was Bartolo Colon. Was a great trade, and that brought in
Grady Sizemore, Brandon Phillips, Cliff Lee,
and Cliff Lee, and you know Grady, what could have been? Cliff Lee won a Cy Young here. Brandon Phillips was great, just not in Cleveland when he went on to Cincinnati.
But we'll still just make laser eye memes of Andrew Berry.
But today in 2024, and after watching a guy, you know, he gave away the game in Game 2. You know, Carpenter got lucky, I guess, and turned on one, and maybe it was the guy catching him, not calling the right pitches or whatever. But to come back and get, he got 5 outs in Game 4 and 6 outs in Game 5 as a closer. Mm-hmm. Stepping up when you need him to step up.
The 6 out closing on Saturday. We have not made a big enough deal about that today. Because especially in the ninth inning, it felt like just I was like, man, you know, it's never over till it's over. But I think I was kind of talking myself into it. I think Owen was right. Like when he was talking about the ninth inning kind of being, or you said from the grand slam on.
From the grand slam on, there wasn't. I could get being at home and being tense and having, you know, announcers maybe talking to you and stats about our never quit team and all that. Not out 74. In 174, we were having a party.
I was driving.
There was still moments where, you know, of course, there was a point when I didn't know, once again, didn't know who was up in the bullpen, and they brought Gattis in. I thought, no, this is Eli's spot, and they actually flip-flopped him, and Eli Morgan came in and really showed up for him in that point in the game.
But see, this is very critical, and we haven't talked a lot of strategy for the series. I think a lot of people were wondering what they would do with their playoff roster and whether or not, you know, rotationally, what they would do tonight. And we found out, obviously, the Cobb is going tonight. I saw some people think that maybe Lively should have been on the roster. Either way, how they handle Class A is going to be huge in this series. And unfortunately, the way it is structured, you have the one day off before going Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So this weapon of having Class A go two innings is almost out the window, depending on how, you know, the different games fall. Because if you need him. How many times do you think he can go this series? And how many times can you expect him to go more than three outs? Because last series, I thought that was going to be huge. He gives up the home run, obviously.
But you also, you know, they pull Boyd after two innings as well. And that, Kate Smith's in the third. Nobody expected that.
Let me tell you this. And the Derry brothers had a great point about this in their post-game podcast, the Guardians cast, which you can hear on the free Odyssey app. And you can get a link to it right here at 92.3thefan.com. The Derry brothers, both obviously wonderful. And I think, do we have one of them tomorrow?
Matt at 7:20.
Matt coming on at 7:20 tomorrow.
Who cried. He said he
tears
cried.
Of joy.
They did add that he almost cries every time they win a playoff series. So he's consistent.
I'm an emotional guy too, so I can understand that. Let me tell you this though. They specified, because at first I was making a big deal about Tim Herron. I think Tim Herron is exhausted right now, and is just he's on fumes. He's flicking the tank and trying to roll to the left and right to see if there's any gas left in there, because I think Tim Herron is cooked. I didn't realize that Cade Smith went from 98 to like 92 by the time it was over.
At pitch 30,
that's something that they noticed. Yeah, and I was like, oh my gosh. So it seemed to
start. And that was a five-game series, guys.
Like, that seemed to start working against them. So it's like, tonight, you need Alex Cobb. Can I get three out of you? And then see where we can go from there. Now, I don't know what the situation is with Andrew Walters, because he's so young.
How much trust is there?
Well, I got to see the roster and how they figure this all out. Like, that's part of it as well, because we got to figure out what to do with Bo Naylor catching, Austin Hedges catching, because right now, I mean, still it is what it is. Both guys are basically an out, but you're going to take one guy for his defense and being able to call pitches, and that's Austin Hedges. Plus his leadership, for crying out loud. If I'm going to have an out, I'm at least going to get good defense out of it. So, and hopefully Rocchio can keep up what he's been doing and be able to do it, and be able to continue this in this series, which, by the way, I think I've seen one at bat, and it happened this last game on Saturday that I think I don't remember the last time Andrés Giménez had a command like that at the plate all year until he was up there in this game five. That was like the last time when he got the double. That's like the last time I think I've seen. That's the first time in months that I've seen him have any like assertiveness, confidence in himself at all. The first time in
months. I agree. He is making me, along with what Rocchio was able to do. Obviously, Kwan is red hot. So you have a lot of things coming into place here at the end of that series that make you feel like not only do you have a chance, that why the hell can't we win this series?
Well, it's because, and especially because, like, you started off that bunt that ended up being like a high pop to third base that was nearly caught. Yeah, he's just been, I think he's been just nervous to make the mistakes at the plate all year. And so to see him have any sort of confidence in himself whatsoever, it was a huge bust or a huge boom for this team. Let me get to Frank in Cleveland real quick. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi.
Hey, man, Class A ain't going to see the mound, man. I hate to say it, it's the first time ever I'm going to beef with y'all, but I'm a Yankees fan, man. He ain't going to see
all
the
right,
mound.
See ya. Well, goodbye. That's not very...
Sweet team music. It is a
boy, that took us certainly by surprise. What is that?
It's Mitch and his friends going
into
the show.
What are you doing, Yankees fans in?
Frank on the
fan. Don't you sit there and say, hey,
the fan us. On the fan play.
Well, that's the end
on
of Mitch. We'll just go ahead and
see you in a
minute.
And his mic has been disconnected.
Mitch, please, is going to be silent.
Well, just turn Owen into Shawn Michaels And Lyman can be Triple H, and you can be Stan. And you can just go sweet chin music and everybody over there.
Did he screen any calls from actually Guardian fans?
He didn't screen anything.
Love to have a Guardians fan.
What do you do here?
That would be nice.
Except for make my life miserable. What do you do?
He doesn't have a mic to tell you.
I shouldn't say anything. Gary's listening. I like Gary.
Oh, Big Gary's going to
come.
Oh,
Gary's listening. He just passed a note. Hey, guys, I booked John Sterling and Michael Kay.
Great.
The only Yankee I'll let you bring on is Thurman Munson. I'd like to see how you do that, but if you can get him, please.
Local guy?
That's like the one Yankee that's cool. It's like, hey.
Yeah.
Anyone had traded here, by the way, so... Thurman Munson gets a pass. The rest, you know, to hell with it. We're going to Little Italy. I'm going with you, as is tradition.
Rain is supposed to clear up. It's going to be a beautiful day. We'll have Columbus Day, and then that'll send us right into what should be a glorious evening of ALCS baseball.
Hey, paisanos!
There you go. Looking forward to it all. Do we got to do Mitch, please? I don't know if I want to give him the satisfaction.
I think you do. This is a good clip.
Oh, okay, tough guy. Let's hear it.
So this is from NBA TV's pregame coverage of the Warriors and the Kings from Friday night, and it was an awkward conversation between former coach of the year Sam Mitchell and one of his co-hosts, Chris Miles, and there was a awkward interaction that may have leaked with the home address being leaked. Here's the clip.
I'm surprised coaches get a paycheck for this show. You know, I think, like, maybe you should do this pro bono, my friend.
You know, last time I looked at my check, it's pretty close. So, hey, I'm taking donations. Why don't you come up off some of that money you got since you're over there bragging about it?
I'm not bragging about it.
Well, I mean, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you rent your beach house out down in Florida during the hurricane? Or do I need to go on? How about your townhouse over in Buckhead?
Hey, what's going on here, Sam?
You want to call me out? I mean, come on.
I think
you screaming broke and hungry. Let's just see it. You know, I know what you have and where you live, young fella, so you need to stop.
I think we have snitches on the show today.
No, we don't have snitches. We have
Sam
truth tellers.
Mitchell.
We have truth tellers. So you're the one who crying poor and destitute up here. When do I need to keep going on further, more and more? Or do
How
you want me to stop right now?
Go to this game between
That's
the Sacramento Kings
I done
and
told
the
you,
Golden
young fella,
State Warriors.
You're going to stop messing with me on national TV. I done told you about that. Hey, do I need to give out the address? Because you're not at home right now.
Of championships and now an Olympic gold medal.
68. Huh? You had the pool put in yet?
I think that's your house.
No, that's your house, Chris. Oh, that's your rental property house.
There we go. All right. Warriors.
Boy, this game
can't
stay fast enough.
We'll be back
in
halftime and after the game as well.
Listen to him having fun.
Why did he keep going? He couldn't stop. That man. And by the way, they might be cool off the air, but you could tell Sam Mitchell has spoken to him numerous times about whatever he's flaunting, whatever he's saying behind the scenes.
You guys can't all be inside the NBA. You can't, like, these guys, they try to take shots at each other. Like, Lima and I take really strong shots at each other. At the same time, while we've taken really strong shots at each other, we have forgotten that other people don't necessarily like those, and we got a couple who won't talk to me anymore. And actually, there's a few out there that won't talk to Tone.
But we are
after
friends.
Some of the strong shots.
We are friends.
Yes.
Those guys work together, so they've been together at things. Obviously, they've been to the houses.
You can't force it.
But Sam Mitchell, when I heard that clip, when I saw it for the first time, like, he won't let it go. So he is deeply, deeply rooted in his feelings against this man.
Oh, by the way, did you see the video? They did put out a video trying to make good, but it was almost as awkward as that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I got several people saying I should say bring you would know who on. Should I do it?
Yeah, Kenny, there's a pretty big baseball game tonight.
I want the Guardians to win. You want the Guardians to win. They have the whole world against us, which is exactly how we want it in this city. But I'm not going to do the same thing twice. I'm not going to be that stupid. If you want to do it, you do it. If Owen wants to do it, he can do it. If any other host on this station wants to say, bring on you-know-who, you go right on ahead.
Hold on. What if you hear this? Before you do that, what if you hear this? Let's see if this builds up that animosity and builds up the tough-talking Ken we all know and love. Right.
You never want to say you have it. You never have an easy road to the World Series. But if the Yankees could pick and choose their opponents, I think they got the two that they would pick and choose because of the success that they've had against the AL Central.
You don't have to say it. I'll say it. They have an easy road to the World Series.
It's not easy.
Look, it's never easy, right? But this is the clearest path in 20 years.
Hey, listen to them. They're laughing
at you. The only one I like up there is the guy who runs the whole show, and I forget who the hell that is. David Ortiz, I've always liked. Derek Jeter, it's well documented I've never liked him. And Alex Rodriguez, I don't know. I still can't get over the pictures of himself in the ad kissing the mirror. So I don't need to hear anything from those people, all right? And anybody who says that they're some sort of a Yankee fan and they're not full on in, if I know a guy like Sean Marash and he wants to talk that trash, go right on ahead. I know that he is a sincere, true blue Yankee fan. But I got guys in the other room, people who I wouldn't trust, who I not believe are good Americans and good citizens, who said that they are both Yankee and Guardians fans. It's time to pick a side. And since you can't give full-throated endorsements for the Guardians, I'm treating you as an enemy, Mitch. How do you like that? I'm not going to say bring them on.
Kenny,
I'm not going to show my ass
bring
again. You
on.
Can say it.
Bring
you said
them
it.
On.
You said
bring
it.
Them
I'm
on.
Not saying it.
Bring
go
them
Guardians.
On.
Come on,
go
Guardians.
Them.
Let's go. I'm not showing my ass.
Bring them.
Go Guardians.
Game one.
Hey, go Guardians.
Guardians. Let's go.
Lima
let's
said
go.
It this time.
Let's go.
Lima
bring
said
them.
It.
Bring on the Yankees.
Turn
let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Turn
let's go.
Let's go. Get a win tonight. Damn it.
That's what I like
go.
To hear.
Go and get him! I want to hear this music in the morning! Now go and get him, damn it! Let's go!
Give me
country.
The Yankees.
No!
Give me
no.
The Yankees.
You got
I didn't
them.
Say
you're
me
here.
The Yankees. Give me the Yankees.
Whether
give
I want to
me
say
the
it or not, they're there and people want them. For Big Country, for Jeff. For the traitor in the other room.
A storybook season, Kenny. Come
our,
on.
Our old boss is texting me, go Yankees. That's unbelievable.
The next chapter of this story
he's out
begins
of town.
Tonight.
Get out of here.
We kicked him out of town.
Get out
of
Cleveland.
New Yorkers.
The Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima. I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Go Guardians. Let's go, damn it.
Let's go. Let's go.